We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We got a chance today to show them who we are in front of the world.
Looking deep, has a man wide open. Touchdown.
Touchdown for Jacksonville.
Touchdown, Jags!
You're listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's JK3.
Derek, I was, took a couple weeks off to mourn the closing of everyone's favorite Burger King downtown after so many years. It was constructed in the 80s, served a lot of people good food for so long, and it's closing.
How do I say goodbye? No.
Ooh, that was good.
No, a little baritone.
Yeah.
little baritone in that voice, man.
No, man. Jacksonville, landmarks, man. That and the old Beach Road Chicken on Atlantic, man. I know it was another restaurant after that, but that's what I'm going to remember it as, is Beach Road Chicken and the ever-changing parts of our city, hopefully for good. We definitely have a NFL owner that is trying to do some things like that, but that Burger King, crap happens. I think that there's two of them that actually closed. So that was, I think it was same ownership group, maybe, who knows, but
Is that where the Four Seasons is going in that spot?
No, man, but hey. Maybe we can put a Burger King in a new stadium. Maybe we can get creative. Why not?
Sure. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Any thoughts on Burger King closing? JK3?
I don't have any thoughts on it, man. I hope they put something nice there. I hope it's something decent. But Burger King's closed. I'm a McDonald's guy anyway, so
okay.
Less of the ops around.
Less of the ops. Burger King is homegrown though. You know,
homegrown to what?
Started in Jackson, so that's why
Burger King did not start in Jacksonville.
Did it? I didn't know that.
No, it did not.
I'm like 99.
There's no way.
First Burger King opened in July 28, 1953.
Were you there?
Florida.
Were you the first one to get a Whopper?
No. Is that the ribbon cutting?
No. Yeah. I was not there. But no, I'm pretty sure it did, man.
Man, Burger King did not start in Jacksonville. Stop.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Get up, man.
There's no way. If Burger King started in Jacksonville, there will be way more Burger Kings.
Hmm.
Everything now you think about when do you see a Burger King? They're few and far between because they're not good.
Derek, they just opened that new one near us.
Yeah, go to the
out in St. John's County, the home value is about to go down. Burger King.
Okay, well, that's probably true. Actually, Taco Bell's going up too.
So, it's plummeting. Hey, y'all get a Popeyes, it's over with.
Mm, yeah,
sell now.
right. Exactly. Thank you, Federal Reserve, for keeping the rates where they are again at your meeting today. That's very good. For my finance people out there, Derek knows what I'm talking about. Really quick thing, just because you brought it up right before we got on and I couldn't stop laughing at it. Let's talk about former Jacksonville Jaguar Leonard Fournette with the Buffalo Bills.
Man, he need to take them nut huggers off. I don't know what he's doing, bro. Man, you go up
the fact that you wait, time out, go back to that. Wait, so you literally looked it up and said the fast food chain Burger King was founded on July 23rd, 1953, in Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah. What?
Yeah,
wow, that's true.
Yeah, what you thought?
Wow,
man, this is Wikipedia, it's not true.
Yeah, Derek edited that.
Look, yeah,
look, that's what I've always been told.
Wow,
well, I'm gonna roll with it.
That should be a bigger deal, shouldn't it? I mean, I don't know. Look,
there's a lot of history there. You know, it's just what it is, man. Jacksonville has a lot of history, and that is just one of them.
That can get us a credible source besides Wikipedia. Please shoot us something on Twitter at Down by the Bank with some actual factual information about this. Please, someone do some research on this and let us know if Burger King really did originate in Jacksonville, Florida. We'll figure something out, you know, to send you or something like that. But please look that up.
Yeah. And if that's true, they'll be the second most well-known restaurant that started in Jacksonville behind Dick's Wings.
No. Absolutely not. No.
I'll edit out that silence. Don't worry. I just bring that up because we always talk about how Dick's Wings has sponsorship on the stadium. Somehow it doesn't make any sense. But JK3, any thoughts on the Leonard Fournette shorts since you brought it up?
No, I mean, I don't have any thoughts on the shorts. No. number one, it's supposed to be cold up there in Buffalo, and I don't know why what he's getting creative with his shorts. That I'm sure those aren't team issued. So, but no, I think Buffalo adding Fournette, I think they're just, you know, getting themselves ready, you know, for that long, that long run into the playoffs. I think by them beefing up their stable at the trade line, I think it just does nothing but help them, get some extra room in the backfield with James Cook. So I think that's good. But I mean, I think the Jags did the same thing, added some offensive line depth with Ezra Cleveland as well, left guard from Minnesota. So I think it instantly plugs and plays. And I think, you got to protect the franchise, right? You got to get as much as you can on the offensive line, get Trevor, keep the pockets clean, keep the throwing lanes clean for him. I love the addition, you know, on the left side right there with Cam Robinson, and Cleveland. So, hey, I love it. A lot of people wanted us to go and get a third down pass rusher. Didn't really happen that way. I guess Balky really values, those late round picks, which we all don't know what was going through his head, but at least he was out there.
Don't get me started. Man. I don't understand why, like, usually franchises, okay, when you have the window, okay, what do they say? What do all the guys, what do Buscelli and everybody say, all the NFL guys that have played in the game? It's all about windows. When you have your window. Okay, guess what? We are now stepping through the window. We're not a team away. We're a player away. And those late round draft picks, and you said it best, JK3, what have we gotten lately? What have we gotten lately from them?
Right. We haven't gotten a lot of return out of the fourth or fifth round draft picks. I completely understand that. But I don't, with us being a player away, we are a Danielle Hunter, Max Crosby, you know, type of player away. We're not a, you know, I mean, I don't think we're an Use, you know, player away. I don't think that's the type of player. I think right now, with what we have, I would rather be able to, you know, kind of hold where we are as far as, you know, with our picks and things like that. If we don't want to give up the fourth, okay, completely understand that. But now this is a time where we can go ahead and continue to develop Trayvon, because Trayvon is continuing to develop. We're getting players back, Smoot, Hamilton back as well. And then, you know, we got to take care of our own. Josh Allen is still out there on a rookie contract. From what I understand, you know, both Sweat and, you know, Usei are going to have to have, are going to need to get paid, and they're going to be on expiring contracts as well within the next year. You know, why not take care of our own?
That's true. I'm just saying for this year, you know, a mercenary trade. If that option was available, we don't know that for certain, but if that option was available, a 1 year mercenary or a 10 game, 9 game mercenary or whatever it's going to be. And then, you know, you move on and you still pay Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is earning every penny that he should get here coming up soon. And it's going to make for a very interesting, you know, off season when that time comes for him, of how they're going to handle him getting paid and restructuring some of the deals that we have on the books currently, because in the next couple of years, you know, we're also going to have another major time period where we're going to have to pay a few people. So now there'll be some money coming off the books by then, hopefully, but it's good to have these conversations as opposed to having $90 million in cap room and losing 15 games.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how they handle this. But I just want them to, if they didn't pick up a pass rusher, which obviously they didn't, Trayvon Walker ends up playing like he did last week, then hey, I'm all for it. Because dude is a monster. He's just not graceful, but he's a monster.
I think with them honestly, with the defensive line, at least from the first half, what I've seen so far, you know, it's been good. It hasn't been great. I think it's been good. I think it's, you know, they've done their job. They've done what they needed to do. They've created, you know, a lot of disruption. The run game is outstanding from the defensive line. So you can credit that, you know, to them being able to get push. I think the only game they really got blown off the ball, that I can think of was probably Kansas City. And I think Houston was just an anomaly at this point, but, you know, we got to count it. So between those two losses, you know, everything else, you know, they've been pretty good, at least, you know, up front. You know, they've generated some sacks. They've generated, you know, some disruption in the backfield. And they've gotten into, you know, everyone's face, which is also leading into the defensive backs and linebackers being able to make plays as well. So I'm comfortable. You know, of course, adding the pass rusher, it would have been great to add somebody at the trade deadline, but I think we're really good right now to where we don't have to add an average, you know, third down kind of guy. I think, you know, with a third down kind of guy right now, you know, this is where, you know, K'Lavon Chaisson, as much as, you know, he's not a fan favorite, but, you know, for a third down guy, a third down mercenary, that his job is to only go in and get the quarterback and not have to worry about any sacks or anything else like that, I think K'Lavon does that for you and he saves you a ton of money. Is he going to get it home? Is he going to get home? Maybe, but I mean, with the front four that we have right now in between, you know, with Josh Allen, with Roy Robinson Harrison, who's been playing great. You know, Smoot's been playing great, and rotating in with Devon Hamilton, and then Trayvon has been playing as pretty good as well. I'm okay with, you know, us reaching out and, you know, grabbing or looking to see what we can get for, you know, who's out there right now, and then just being okay with what we have, you know, currently in house, at least at the defensive line. I think the offensive line need was aggressive. I think it was, you know, more realistic. And I think that is, you know, something easily that we can upgrade overnight, immediately. You know, I think with Ezra Cleveland coming in, he's got some, I think he was like the eighth best, you know, guard. Or eighth best at his position currently. So I think, you know, bringing him in and being a plug and play right there to help sew up the offensive line, to help, you know, continue to create those run lanes and do what we do best, I think that, in my opinion, that's more important.
You guys keep mentioning the word mercenary. That's kind of like a new term for me. I haven't heard that before. Is that sort of like a reference to a guy that just comes in for short stints on defense?
Not short stints, but like short as far as his time with the team. So when you think about, like, what was his name in 17? Marcel Darius, right?
Yeah.
We couldn't really stop the run. Now, we ended up keeping him, but the original thought was he was only going to be here short term because we couldn't stop the run for anything. We had this great defense that was getting after the passer, but we couldn't stop the run. So they got him from Buffalo, and he was, you know, he plugged that those holes up right away, and that just made us even stronger. Guys like that, but even like a shorter term, like, you know, they're definitely at the, you know, last year their contracts. So, you know, the team they came from pays all the guaranteed money. We just have them for the game checks. And then he goes off and gets, you know, an insane deal from another team because of, you know, just like JK3 said, we got to take care of our own. Mm-hmm. Now there have been times where teams have gone and kept the guy from the trade and then gotten rid of their own, but I don't think that's the case for us. I think the case for us is we need to hold on to Josh Allen if he's going to play like this, and, you know, just those guys that can help us get, you know, into the playoffs and get, not necessarily into the playoffs, but in the divisional round and then AFC championship round. Because as we get out of the beginning of the season and start getting into the meat and potatoes of the schedule, I don't know if you noticed, but somebody's awake up there in Cincinnati after being asleep for the first 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. They tore San Francisco apart. That game was a lot. Now, I get it. San Francisco had some pieces missing, but it doesn't matter. It's the NFL. There's pieces, you know, people, injuries are going to happen. Joe Burrow looked like crap the first couple of weeks. And now all of a sudden he's like just turned into this gamer. So, and he is a gamer. So I'm not saying he turned into one. Just basically he got healthy and they started, you know, getting, you know, on the same page. So we need guys that are going to help us because the path isn't going to come through Jacksonville. We would love to get a home game, you know, for our playoff games. But I mean, as far as the path to get to where they want to go, which is ultimately the Super Bowl, it's going to be Kansas City or Cincinnati. And the last time we've played these teams, I know it's been a few years for Cincinnati, but especially Kansas City, we haven't beaten them. Yeah, we haven't been blown out, but we still haven't won a game. So you need those guys to elevate to get to that next level. And then Ezra Cleveland definitely helps because I feel like with the Chiefs game earlier this year, they kind of dominated us up front. Reason why we couldn't do anything on offense. Travis Etienne had it. I think he had an okay game that game, but it wasn't like the last four he's been having.
So with us, and I want to come back to that really quick because I don't want to look too far, into opponents since we are on the bye week and think, you know, everything. But so right now the Jags are 6-2 currently. I know Kansas City 6-2 right now, Miami 6-2 right now. Baltimore 6-2 right now. So we're at a point right now where we haven't been in a while where every AFC game now we're not just playing because we assume that, you know, they're going to win the AFC South and we assume that they're going to get that home playoff game at least within the first or, you know, within the wild card division. Right. So within that, and then the only way to get the first round bye is so we're right now we're playing for first round bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So with Kansas City right now beating us, so they have the advantage of us there from a record from a waiting perspective as far as the games goes. I think that if they show up and play Baltimore and they show up and play, you know, Cincinnati, like these teams, like we could make a run for home field advantage. I know that's like super, you know, advantageous to think and everything else like that, but you know they've been playing with some of the big dogs of the AFC. And they've been playing really well, and they've been beating teams they shouldn't. The expectation of them is, I think they've already kind of, you know, succeeded that. Everyone thought that this team, you know, at least by the half, if we had lost four games, you know, we would be, you know, in decent shape. And here they are sitting at 6-2. And sitting at 6-2 right now, going into, you know, the next half of the season where you have to play your elite teams, your Baltimores, and you have to play Cincinnati. So those two, you know, AFC weighted opponents, and then of course you have to play the Texans again, and then you have to play the Browns, and then you have to play the Titans twice, you know, as well. So there's a lot of opportunity for them to, you know, continue to make up that ground, especially with having to play Tennessee twice, a Cleveland Browns team that's, you know, not as who they thought they were either. As opposed to, you know, Kansas City and Baltimore with some of their other records they have to play. I'm pretty sure they still got to play some juggernauts, you know, as well. Not as much as Jacksonville has to. But they got to see us too. Cincinnati still has to see us. Baltimore still has to see us as well. So I think that it's in the realm of possibility for them to have that first, to be playing for a first round bye and home field advantage, honestly.
It definitely is. It definitely is. We have a very good opportunity here to really these next, you know, these next three or four games to really solidify as far as the team to get to that next level. And that is to, you know, dominate basically.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying dominate on the scoreboard, I'm just saying win the football game and get those home playoff games and try to, you know, get a bye. It's not the end all be all, but it's definitely, you know, it's definitely possible.
Their next six games or their next, a majority of their next opponents that they have are AFC, you know, opponents. So not necessarily AFC South, but if we're talking about the realm of possibility of, you know, going into a playoff seeding, every game out of these, these next couple are going to count. I mean, you got the Titans, you got the Texans, you got the Bengals, you got the Browns, you got the Ravens, and then you got the Bucks, Panthers, and then the Titans again. So, and then you got the 49ers also. So, a majority of these, yeah, these games, they count for something now. There's no longer just, you know, limping into the playoffs or anything like that. And I think that that's one of the mindsets that they're going to have to go into as well, because they've had this mindset, if you watch sounds of the game, that they say the most important game is the next game. So they're really going to have to put that into test over the next week, because right now with them going in at 6-2, I know last year they really began to make that run. They were chasing Tennessee, you know, and everything like that to get into the playoffs. So this year coming up, you know, they got to continue to put the pedal to the metal and, you know, keep everything going. And, you know, every game, at least with these AFC games that are coming up, you know, for the remaining of the schedule, they all going to have, you know, some type of significant weight and, you know, some type of, you know, outcome that's going to, you know, lead to them getting either, you know, home field advantage or first round bye.
It's just such an exciting time. I'm just happy as a fan to see this team, you know, progress, you know, and it's really, you know, it starts at the top with Doug Peterson, man. He's done an amazing job. So I'm just hoping that this continues. They get rested up and they get ready. The only thing that concerns me moving forward is all the touches that ETN's getting. Now, I get it. He's young. He can probably take it. But I was hoping that, you know, Bigsby would come around from the fumbling. Not sure if we have, you know, DeArnest Johnson, or do I have that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really trying to find someone that could give him at least 10 touches a game.
In relief from ETN?
Yeah, in 10 touches, meaning in the passing or you know, rushing attack, because these teams are going to be tougher. Obviously, a lot of the stuff that the Jags do are play action based, so especially for our deep shots to slow them down. Now, with the offensive line upgrade, maybe that changes a little bit. Instead of, you know, quick three-step drops all the time or quick, you know, play action, you know, maybe we give the opportunity for Ridley to get down the field and stretch the field more. But that's just who we are right now as a team. And they have a great opportunity. I just don't want to see ETN kind of get, you know, punch drunk per se with a lot of carries. And, you know, because he's taking some shots too. He's ran right into the teeth of the defenses, and those linebackers and, you know, D linemen have teed off on him and safety. So I hope someone from the reserves in the backfield steps up and is able to give him some relief so that he can be durable for the long, you know, for the long haul.
Yeah. I think, the Tank Bigsby right now, I would like to see, Jermichael or DeArnest, you know, getting some of the touches as well and relieve someone that's a little bit more seasoned. I think Tank's got to earn his way back into the second spot, you know, currently right now, because it kind of just seems like every time he's in the game. And again, I don't know the guy, and this is not me speaking, you know, on, you know, him personally or anything else like that. But I just feel like, you know, he's a liability right now when he's running the ball. I think he's a liability when it comes to plays. And I think one of the things that the Jaguars have got to clean up, you know, going forward, if they want to continue to press into the playoffs as they start playing good teams and things like that, is limiting the turnovers. The turnovers have got to, you know, they got to chill on the turnovers. I mean, Trevor threw an interception on Sunday that should have been thrown away. Ingram, again, ball security. It was wet, you know, completely understand that. You know, Tank Bigsby as well, you know, holding the ball and keeping the ball, you know, through the tackle. But then they've also had a couple of just, you know, intercept or not. They've had a couple of fumbles and a couple of turnovers and things that have plagued them over the last, you know, couple of weeks. Look at Christian Kirk, you know, against New Orleans. He goes to get up to get extra yards. The ball gets punched out. It comes up to being a fumble. Now, granted, we've faced two teams over the last 2 weeks that haven't really, you know, gotten on track, you know, from an offensive perspective and, you know, being able to cash in those points for touchdowns. But you turn the ball over in the next quarter right now, you turn the ball over against, you know, San Fran. If they're coming back 110% healthy, that's going to lead into turnovers, especially if you put it in on, you know, their side of the ball. Like, we have a turnover on our 35 or 40, you know, you could almost kind of cash that in for at least 3 to 7 points right there. And then you think about, you know, these high octane offenses that we're going to start playing, the Ravens, the Bengals, turn the ball over. They could either slow bleed you and take you on a long drive and, you know, completely milk the clock, or they can score at will and get themselves back into the game as well. So the turnovers are going to be the minimization of the turnovers, you know, going into this next half of football are going to be key. And I think that that's one of the things they got to get back to the basics on, is protecting the football. But then on the flip side of it as well, as we're going into, again, the defense, talking about it, this is where we're going to really be able to be opportunistic, you know, on the defensive side of the ball and really continue to go after and really, you know, get some interceptions as well because of who we're playing. We're playing teams that like to throw the ball, like to put the ball in the air. And this is going to be, you know, another opportunity, especially when Tyson Campbell comes back, you know, for us to continue to get more, you know, turnovers, you know, within these high octane offenses that, you know, we're going to come up against this next half of the football.
Do you guys ever worry about, you know, the concept of peaking too early, that, you know, we're too hot too early in the season and, you know, dissipate over time and you kind of like get cold right before the playoffs start, right before the really important games start?
Not really.
I hope it doesn't happen. Yeah, I hope it does not happen. That's a realistic fear. Dude, that's a really realistic fear.
It is, but I don't have a feeling that this is, you know, this team isn't like that. And because there's traits of, with this team, of never giving up. You got to think, when's the last, like, think about like last year, you know, Detroit really took it to us. And then look at the way they responded. Think about this year, Houston took it to us. And look at, you know, cause we just, you know, they just didn't want to play that day. And then look at the way they responded. Not to say they can't get beat any given Sunday. We've said that 100 times on here. They can get beat. But look at the way they've responded after they, you know, get a butt kicking. And that's coaching and mentality. So that's why I think, could it happen? Sure. Is it likely? Probably not. Because they've always responded when their back's against the wall. They responded in the playoff game with 4 picks in the cold when their back was against the wall. So I feel like the response is there to where they just have this attitude like, well, we're not going to let that happen. We're not going to start losing 2 and 3 in a row and just getting, you know, our butts kicked when we get out here. We might drop one. We don't want to do that, but we might drop one. But that's it. No more. So I like that mentality they have, of the response they have after, you know, adversity has kind of bitten them in the butt.
Well, and to JK3's points on the turnovers too, I mean, think about it. They've had all those issues, yet they still, like you said, come back every time. So mm-hmm. If you eliminate that, I mean, I don't know, maybe we're not peaking early. We have a lot of things we could fix and potentially be even better.
Do you guys, what do you feel about, And I know that, you know, with us being Jack fans, we really don't care about what the national media thinks of us and everything. And anyone, you want that respect, right? You may think that, you know, you may say it like, man, I don't care what the media thinks about us or anything else like that. I don't care that the Jags aren't getting love or anything. But like, really though, does it kind of upset you that, you know, you've got, you know, places like Fox Sports that are, I forget what the name of the show is, but where they're basically saying the Jags, you know, really aren't the best team. Yeah. You know, like what, or not really giving us our flowers at the time. Like, what do you really like? What's your true feelings behind that?
Well, Derek, really quick, I will say, because for me, I hate it because I want to brag and be all excited and share stuff. Like anytime the Pro Football Talk rankings come out, and I think the recent one had us at like one or two, and I know these are just like arbitrary rankings, but I immediately share that stuff because I'm so excited about it. So it does, I don't know about you, Derek, it does kind of bum me out a little bit when we don't get that that recognition.
To me, it's, you got some guys that just don't know what they're talking about. They have a bias towards us because people think of that we're the same Jacksonville from 30 plus years ago. That's a small, a big little town or whatever they used to call us, that they still have that. Like they haven't even been down here. So they don't even know. Like that's what, it's more of a bias in their head, an ignorant bias than actually looking at the football team.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is.
They're still thinking of us as the hometown of Burger King, and we're just not that.
Yeah, we're not. You know, we are the hometown of Burger King, according to Wikipedia, but no, we're not.
Someone please fact check that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Please.
That's such a big deal. I feel like that's a big deal. Anyway, sorry.
No. But no, it's ignorance. You know, you got Stephen A. You got what's the?
Stephen A's been giving us some love now.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like you got national guys that are giving us props that actually watch the games and pay attention and understand. I think that kind of occurred after the Buffalo game because, you know, Buffalo's supposed to be this big bad boy. And we basically took big bad boy to the, you know, for the first couple quarters to the woodshed.
Well, they were tired though, so.
Yeah. Man, give me
from the flight. That's why Leonard Fournette, that's a great addition. He's not going to be tired. So,
yeah, playoff Lenny. Okay, whatever. But, no,
I don't know. I kind of like, I think, of course, when you on Sundays, you always want to turn on the ESPN and or whatever outlet you watch and you want to see, you know, why your team won. But I think that for us, it's, you know, what the other team did to lose against the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. And yes. I think that's
100%.
Like, and that's one of the things that, you know, that I would like to see changed. And personally, cause I'd be lying if I said that it didn't, you know, that, oh, I don't care about what national media thinks, you know, I do because I want to be able to turn on the Sports Center and really just be able to see my team, you know, have more than like a 30, maybe a 15 second like blip of, you know, what we did and, you know, why they lost it and everything. What, and then my favorite tagline is like, if, for example, if they were to beat someone, you know, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's like, what's trouble in Pittsburgh? What's going on?
Yeah,
in Pittsburgh?
Right,
it's like, exactly. No, why don't you flip the narrative and talk about what we're doing here in Jacksonville to be a 6-2 team, how this team has played, you know, on two different continents, you know, how they were been able to have every excuse for them to pass a game in and lose. I honestly thought, and again, this is me admitting it to y'all, I thought on Thursday Night Football, I thought they were going to lose. I had it in the back of my mind thinking like they're going to, like, just because of the travel, just because of all the stuff that they've already, all the extracurriculars and stuff like that, and then having to be in London for 2 weeks and travel and then come back and play a home game. And they played the home game really well. And now they got to do a short week with Trevor getting hurt, short week. Now they got to go to, you know, go to New Orleans, different time zone, all this other stuff. Like, I'll admit that. Like, there was a ton of stuff that was going through my mind within that, but they were able to overcome it, and they're 6-2 at the bye.
And the crazy part that about that New Orleans game, you just said that what's wrong with the Steelers? What's wrong with New Orleans? No, with New Orleans, how they got back into that game, New Orleans, was because Jackson, we got tired.
Yeah, the defense was exhausted.
The defense was tired. Okay, so it wasn't what New Orleans didn't do. It was because the Jags were tired and let them back into the game. You can't tell me Captain Checkdown was all of a sudden throwing dimes to wide open guys because they were just dog tired. So, and they of course, not one national media person picked up on that. But I feel like just at the end of the day, we have to win it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we have to beat Kansas City. I'm not saying we got to win our division, even the AFC. We got to win the whole freaking thing. Like Jake Taylor said in the movie Major League, remember he was sitting in the locker room.
Corey's never seen Major League.
Yeah, so Corey's probably never seen Major League, so he probably doesn't know.
I'll Google it.
We got to win the whole freaking thing.
And like the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that's the Super Bowl.
That'll change the game for
but
sure.
But then what'll happen is that when the Jags win, you'll get a narrative like, are the Jaguars the worst team to ever win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's right? True. The parade in Jacksonville is going to be so terrible.
Yeah.
I don't care. They can't take that away from you. I mean, I know there's a lot of, whether it's national media fans that don't think we should have a team. They don't think we should have Trevor Lawrence. They have all these like ignorant narratives in their head about what they think we should be. Well, guess what? We are a 6-2 team that is tied for the best record in the conference. And we have an opportunity to do something special. We have an owner that is very, very positive in the direction of how he sees that we should be as a football town. And that's the direction we're headed. And if this train keeps moving that way, then there's nothing that's going to stop us. I just hope that along the way during Trevor's time, we can get us a couple, 2 or 3 rings in the process.
Yeah. Derek needs to be a motivational speaker or something for real, because we're like being super pessimistic. And
I'm not trying to be pessimistic, man, but it's just the PTSD in me.
The thing you said about like, oh, this is like the worst team. I could totally picture that if we won the Super Bowl. That's the bad part, is everything you're saying, like not even just the post game comments after we win, even during the game, like the commentating teams, no matter which commentating team it is, you always feel like they're bummed out if the other team's losing. You know what I mean? So, but they Derek's right. We shouldn't,
They just need to get over it. We here. Okay. The Jags are here. All right. Trevor Lawrence is him. All right. And they're going to do some things. It's a special group. And pray we don't get an offensive line. Pray that the other teams better pray that this, if this Ezra Cleveland trade works out, if he ends up being like all world, you better look out, because the only thing that's really stopped him is time. He's got an elite arm. He can read defenses. Usually his mistakes or because he tries too hard because he knows he doesn't have much time and he presses himself. Give him an extra second and he will carve any secondary up in this league. I'll say it again. I'll repeat it to whoever. He will carve any secondary up in this league. With all 3 healthy receivers, with Zay, Kirk, and Ridley. And then obviously our tight end, who, man, a great game from him last week. He'll carve any of them up. You could put Dallas out there. Throw San Francisco out there. Who's got the best defense in the league right now?
You're going to see San Francisco.
Yeah. Put them out there if our O-line gets it together.
Yeah. No, I think, coming out of the bye week, and just addressing the first game, and I know that, we talked about not really providing, too big of an analyst, look at it. But, you got to observe what San Francisco did by adding, Chase Young, to them. And so you got Bosa and Young, coming off. So I think this team is going to be really put to the test early. But I like it because, you also want to see, where your team, stacks up and what the measuring stick is. I think the 49ers, next week, it's going to be a measuring stick game. I think it's going to be, you're getting the best of, one of the best teams in the NFC. And you'll be able to, really just measure up to see what your offense and what your defense can do against a team that has, good firepower on both sides. I mean, from a offensive perspective, The Jags, you know, you're going to be going up against, you know, one of those teams that they got ballers at every level. And especially if Fred Warner, if he comes back, if he's healthy by that time, you know, you're going to have, you know, a tough time there with a veteran linebacker plus two dogs coming off of the end, you know, off the both ends. And then on the defensive side, you got one of the most electrifying offenses, you know, currently right now, you know, in the NFL, especially if Debo is healthy. And then also with Christian McCaffrey, you know, also, you know, so I think it's going to be, I think this is going to be one of the more exciting games. And I think that, you know, again, if this is a game that this type of game right now, if you're a Jags fan, if you're not there, if you're not loud, if you're not in the stands, like, you got no excuse here. The opponent is insane. The weather is going to be, it's going to be great. Like, you know, all of the hot games are gone right now, you know, so this is the time. And then we're going to be playing them at 1 o'clock, you know, as well. So this has got to be an opportunity for us to really show up and support the team. And you got to put, you know, some butts in the seats. And then you, the next week after that, you got the Tennessee Titans, who's, you know, arguably one of the big, the biggest rival of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you got two perfectly good November home games to where you can get in and actually, you know, show your support for the team and, you know, get out there. The team is playing outstanding right now, 6-2. You can't, I mean, you can't ask for anything more. They haven't been 6-2 since like 98 or 99.
Wow. Dang. Hey, Derek, they need to cut that up, what he just said, and put it in another commercial.
But it's no, like it's real. And it's super real, man. And then on top of that, like, everyone that's looking for like cheap tickets, I think we said that earlier this year that like, you can't have both. You can't have a winning product on the field and tickets that they're giving out at Winn-Dixie. Like, you gotta show up. You gotta show up, man. That's the best support. You gotta show up. You gotta be loud. If you watching TV, watch on TV and it's like, oh, I saw nothing but red, you know, from the 49ers in the stands. Well, why didn't you come to the game?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I will say that last home game, I mean, it was definitely a different feel. I felt like the last home game, there was a lot of good energy and, mm-hmm. You know, so we'll see.
But, it was still a little toasty, though. It was, you know, not for us. You know, it was still good, but it was still what many would be considered like kind of too hot. So this game coming up on November, what is it, 12th?
Something like that.
The 12th? Yeah, it's going to be nice.
So. I still can't believe that, you know, there was the rumors of the flex with the Jets and the Raiders. That's just, you know, again, that's that mentality I told you about, Corey, that naive mentality of, you know, you got two big fan bases, because at the end of the day, that's all the NFL cares about is ratings. So there, you know, you got two national fan bases with one team that's probably going to implode. If it hasn't already imploded, in the Raiders, and another one that's praying, yeah, that's praying that they get some sort of quarterback play, because they, you know, thought they were going to have Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, we're still not getting the respect, and that's why I said we got to win the whole thing.
I think from what I've gathered on Twitter, again, I don't have a credible media source besides that, but and. Putting it into perspective, what I'm about to say, it does make sense, because the game is a viewer, I guess it's a viewer rights game from Fox. So Fox would not flex it into Sunday night because they can't. They don't own it. They don't own the viewership rights for it. So I think either NBC or CBS, something like that, where they are kind of in cahoots where they can be able to create that flex. But that's from what I was able to gather.
Okay.
I think the next best thing, though, is that it is going to be the Fox game of the week. So, you know, regardless, you know, the Jags are going to, we're going to get forced down your throat, you know, anyway, like they did last week. Everyone watched. That was the game of the week for CBS. Majority of the coverage was, you know, Jags versus Steelers. And I think this week, you know, with the 49ers being one of the historical teams and one of the historical fan bases, you know, a ton of transplant 49er fans that have been all over and things like that. I think this is another opportunity, the next best thing to a primetime game. You know, so a majority of everybody's going to see outside of the local coverage, you know, is going to see the Jags versus Niners. And, you know, honestly, I'd rather play these guys at 10 a.m., you know, their body clock time anyway. You know, I don't want to give them any opportunity to kind of, you know, adapt to time zones and, you know, stuff like that. If we can get them on the field at you know, 1 p.m., smack them in the mouth, man. And by the time, you know, hopefully the Jags are up 17-0 before they wake up, and then we can just ride from there.
What they need to do is there's a singer out there. Her name's Jennifer Holliday. She's, you know, old dream girl singer from the 70s and 80s. She's got that song, you know, and I'm telling you, you know, you're going to love me. You remember that? And they,
Jennifer
Hudson redid it.
Yeah,
you need to
get her
to sing the national anthem and then sing her song to the national broadcast. Like, you're going to love us.
I don't know, man. I would rather have Flavor Flav come sing the national anthem here.
Hell no.
I would love if just imagine it, man. Flavor Flav in Jacksonville singing the national anthem, and then we get the flyover, man. It'd be just
I can't imagine that actually.
But the flyover is just like some like B-52 bomber, and we're like, yeah, boy,
America. Any plans for the bye week for either of you,
man? This is a honeydew list for me. I got a pressure wash the house.
Riding dolo, daddy solo. Missus is going to be out of town. Got a work conference early in the week, so she's going to be gone. So that's what I'll be doing, riding dolo home.
Bro, I am going to be, I've got pressure washing. I've got to do the whole Clark Griswold, like, you know, look at all the Christmas lights and make sure everything's good. I got to put together some patio furniture as well. So yeah, I'm gonna be busy.
Wow. Okay.
Anybody y'all want to come over and help?
Nope.
Kegerators full of Yingling.
Derek. I mean, maybe if you're feeling inclined.
I can't say that because then if I say that, then my daughter's gonna want to come. Oh, chance to play with Nelly. Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. So
yeah.
Then she'll never want to leave. So then I'll be stuck there.
Yeah, I do have to clear some homeowners association like warning letters that I got. Pressure washing is actually one of them. Pressure washing the driveway. I'm like on like the third notification now, so I'm like very soon to being foreclosed on or something just because my driveway's dirty, which kind of sucks. But okay, well, cool. Well, are we going to record prior to the next game? I guess
Absolutely.
The next week.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll put something out about the 49ers. They you know, they're limping right now. They're limping, and they've had some injuries. Obviously, they made a trade to try to get better with their pass rush. I think that they, you know, they can be dangerous. When healthy, they can be extremely dangerous. They've proven that, and they're going to have an opportunity to show that on a national stage. So for us, it's just about, you know, for the Jags, it's just about rest, getting back to it, and you know, going up against one of the league's best and, you know, line it up, seeing who's got it.
All right. Well, awesome. Well, appreciate everybody listening. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating or review. Spotify has some sort of, I don't know if it's a rating or review system now. They have some other system. They keep trying different stuff. But if you're on Spotify and you see something that emulates leaving a review or some sort of feedback, please do so. And of course, JK3 runs our Twitter/X account at Down by the Bank. So be sure to follow that so you can see what interesting things he tweets during the games and when interesting and funny things happen during the season. So appreciate everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.